The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And as our listeners know, we've been increasingly focused on the issues of environment and climate change here on Healthy Ulster Radio, critical issues of our time, and becoming more consequential as we go on. And our topic today is Catskill Mountain Keeper, which is one of our region's preeminent environmental organizations. They're a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting our region's wildlands and natural resources, supporting smart development to sustainably grow our economy, nurturing a healthier community, and accelerating the transition to a 100% clean energy future in New York and beyond. And our guest is Dr. Kathy Nolan. Dr. Nolan is a pediatrician trained in research design and epidemiology, who for the past two decades has focused her work on protecting our environment and promoting public health in Ulster County and the Catskills. She serves as senior research director for Catskill Mountain Keeper. And Catskill Mountain Keeper, just to give you just a little bit of background, and Dr. Nolan will elaborate, has led efforts in New York that resulted in our statewide ban on fracking, urged passage of the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, and helped to organize Solarize and Heat Smart initiatives. Through her work with Mountain Keeper, Dr. Nolan has also become a leading voice on how to bring together climate goals with a healthy lifestyle, promoting the use of open space for outdoor recreation, and championing the removal of toxic herbicides and insecticides from our food and water. So welcome, Dr. Nolan. You quite a resume indeed.
Well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here with you.
Yeah, and it's great because we've worked together on many issues confronting our community, from, you know, including the opioid epidemic and other issues. And it's so great to have you here. So Dr. Nolan, I'm going to say Kathy, because we've been friends for a long time. And this topic is timely because I'm recording from home and I'm looking at a beautiful panoramic view of the Catskill Mountains as we speak. So it's so apropos. So let's give our listeners a little background on Catskill Mountain Keeper, including why, how, and when it got started, and the leadership and stakeholders involved in the organization.
Yes, thanks. Catskill Mountain Keeper is a nonprofit organization. It was organized about 15 years ago, realizing that there were issues affecting the environment and people's health in the Catskill region, and feeling that there was a need for better advocacy, especially at the state level, to bring resources into the Catskills to help us address some of our environmental issues and to help support the economy. And Mountain Keeper was formed by people who felt that they could potentially do that in a more sustainable way. Ramsey Adams, our executive director, and Wes Gillingham, our associate director, teamed up to open a three-person office, with the two of them with an office manager in Livingston Manor in Sullivan County, with the idea that they would help the local people look at sustainable development and encourage farmers. A few years later, Mountain Keeper started an office in Woodstock, which I've headed up here in Ulster County, so that we could expand that work to cover more of the Catskill Park and the Catskills region. So we started fairly small and with the idea of really being engaged on local issues. That hasn't proved to be how we have ended up working. One of the first farmers to walk into Mountain Keeper's office those 15 years ago came in and said, you know, there just was somebody who said he was a landman who was coming to my farm to ask if he could get the right to do some kind of oil and gas drilling And it turned out that that was one of the first farmers that was approached in New York State for a license on their land to do fracking.
Yeah, because that sounds like an evil character, like the like the cigarette man in the X-Files or something, the land man.
The land man. And in fact, there was a fair amount of that evilness coming through in terms of those speculators not really fully disclosing to the farmers what fracking on their property might be. But this farmer wanted to figure it out before signing anything, fortunately. And so our folks went down to Pennsylvania to see what was happening. They were already doing fracking in Pennsylvania, and it was horrifying. It looked like there was no way really to protect water supplies that were underground where the high pressure explosions were taking place, and to protect the air from the gases that might emerge from the fracking activities and from all the trucks and traffic that would come to a fracking site.
And it seems to be built on so many false assumptions too. The assumption that, you know, what they're injecting deep into the ground is not completely toxic and carcinogenic, that they're going to install the equipment properly, that they're going to monitor it properly. There's so many unknowns that it is frightening in a bit, in a way.
It's very frightening. The unknowns are bad, but the known factors are pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And I initially thought that we should look at how to do this activity, but make it safe. And so as a scientist and clinician, I started looking at the literature, trying to figure out how to make it safe. And I couldn't. I convinced myself that I couldn't, you know, there was no way that you could drill down through drinking water layers of the earth and count on cement and steel to keep that water layer separate from the fracking activity and the oil and gas.
Right.
That was close to 15 years ago, over a decade ago. And since then, the research has completely borne that out. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the fracking chemicals. There was just a paper released done by a colleague of mine that shows that PFOA and PFOS substances, these forever polyfluorinated chemicals, have been used in fracking sites ever since fracking has been done in the United States. But without anybody knowing, because the way that the reports are filed by the companies, that information was never completely disclosed.
And a lot of industrial organizations injected toxic chemicals into deep wells as a way of disposing of them. I mean, certainly Hoosick Falls was one example of that, and many others. So, you know, in terms of fracking, I think it's pretty much we're fairly certain of the dangers and the wisdom of not allowing fracking, which New York has done. But you've also, Mountain Keeper has also worked on alternative renewable energies, right? And promoting those. You want to talk about those a bit?
Exactly. We felt that if we were going to oppose continuing use of oil and gas that was extracted through fracking, that we needed to have an alternative, or we were basically leaving people without the energy sources that they have come to rely on. So we became early champions of transitioning to green renewable sources of energy. And what we had learned with the experience with fracking is that our idea of working at the local level was good, but we couldn't isolate the local level and just try to, you know, encourage individuals to take action, because it doesn't feel like enough, and often there aren't enough resources. So where we started focusing more was on how to go between the various levels of intervention that can be taken on an issue. And so we created the Solarize initiative, or became a part of New York State's Solarize initiative in the Catskills, to bring solar energy, solar panels, to people's homes and to their businesses, and to make that easy, because we knew there were people who were willing to switch to solar, but each person didn't need to go through the difficult process of figuring out who was a reliable source of this, how they were going to purchase it. There were a lot of complicated features, and we felt that by bringing together that information and groups of people so they could do this together, that it would make it easier. And that did turn out to be a very effective way to increase the number of people putting solar on their homes and businesses putting solar in. We have since then also participated in New York State's Heat Smart program to introduce people to air source and ground source heat pumps for heating and cooling and basically dehumidifying the air in homes and businesses without using fossil fuels. So these initiatives can bring us into a situation where more and more people are moving away from fossil fuels on their own initiative, but with support from these programs. And that makes it much more likely that our local region, our state, our nation, and the globe will make these transitions in time.
Right. Just making it seamless and really, kind of community solar is like that, where it's really just a matter of like signing up online or making a phone call and signing up. It's, everything is completely seamless in terms of going through your very same utility. And we talked with Nels Leader, his son, from Bread Alone, and that organization has taken amazing steps. I mean, they're building a completely net energy neutral facility in Shokan to supply all of their cafes. And one of the things that Nels said was that when his colleagues ask him about how to go about utilizing renewable, he always advises them to take small steps, one small step at a time, and then expand on from there. All wonderful stuff. So, and we want to learn a lot more about all of it. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health, advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And my guest is Dr. Kathy Nolan. She's Senior Research Director for Catskill Mountain Keeper. So Dr. Nolan, before the break, we talked about some of the main focus areas of Mountain Keeper in terms of fracking and promoting renewable and alternative energies. Can you talk about some of the other major areas that Catskill Mountain Keeper is working in?
Yes, Catskill Mountain Keeper has taken on a lot of the big environmental issues. I like to think of it as we're trying to clean up our air, our water, and our soil and food. So one of the other initiatives that I feel really proud of Catskill Mountain Keeper for working on is enhancing local agriculture and helping farmers give added value to their crops. As part of working on that, we became aware that the food that we're eating is increasingly at risk of contamination from chemicals that are being urged on the farmers. The chemical industry, and I guess in New York State, the Farm Bureau, have encouraged farmers to really use what I call insecticides, a lot of people call pesticides, in much higher doses and in a lot of circumstances when we really don't need to use these chemicals. I say insecticides rather than pesticides because clearly not all insects are pests. And even on a farm, there are what are called beneficial insects. So we want to try to help farmers get a good yield from their crops. But the question is, can they do that without adding chemicals that may be harmful to those beneficial insects? It turns out that the chemicals are not only harmful to the beneficial insects, but also to birds and bats, earthworms in the soil, other soil organisms, fish that may live near the water runoff from the farms, and even mammals. So as in many areas where Catskill Mountain Keeper has worked, we started in thinking there was a small problem or an issue that we could help with, and then discovered that the issue is much bigger and needs a lot more attention than we might have thought originally.
Mm-hmm. And even with the tremendous growth in organic foods, the movement toward organic foods, is the challenge of insecticides, increasing use of insecticides, is it increasing still dramatically? And what about our locally grown food?
The number of pesticides being used and their frequency are both increasing. And organic food generally has fewer chemicals found in it than non-organic food. Non-organically grown produce, about 70% of it, you can find insecticides. And in many cases, two or more different chemical compounds. In citrus fruit, it can be higher than that. In organically grown produce, it's much, much lower. You find in some areas of the country, you won't find insecticides in the organic produce. The problem is that a new class of compounds is being used by farmers, and that class of compounds, the neonicotinoids, gets into our water supply and therefore can actually get into the root system and be taken up into organic food as well as non-organic food. The fact that organic food is safer than non-organically grown food is also a social justice problem. It shouldn't be the case that somebody who can't afford organic food therefore has to take these chemicals.
Good point.
I feel as a pediatrician and a clinician that everybody should have food that's free of these chemicals. And it's increasingly difficult to avoid them. The neonic, that's the shorthand for neonicotinoid insecticides, are nicotine-like, new nicotine-like compounds. And they can be applied to a seed in a laboratory by the seed company and then given to the farmers. When the farmer plants and grows that seed, the neonic will be incorporated into every cell of that plant, into the roots, the stem, the leaves, the fruit. And unlike our old chemical pesticides, insecticides, these insecticides cannot be washed off because they're actually kind of bound.
Embedded. Yeah.
They're embedded into the flesh of the fruit, if you will, and the vegetables. So wash as you will not be able to take that compound off. These neonics were introduced about a decade ago. They've become quite pervasive, and that characteristic of their going into every part of the plant means that they also are there in fields that are otherwise healthy. So it's basically like a prophylactic use of an insecticide, where the insecticide is there before you even know what kinds of insects might be in your field, which is just like in regular medicine, it's far worse for the environment to use antibiotics preventatively just anytime.
Scattershot.
Yeah. So instead of doing that, clinical medicine, we're urging doctors to use very targeted applications of antibiotics. That's what I'm arguing we should be doing with these insecticides as well. Mm-hmm. And the Cornell Cooperative Extension has done a report which shows that we can do that, and the farmers' yields will not be harmed at all by taking away those neonic-coated seeds. Mm-hmm. They get, overall, the same kind of yields. They don't have the cost of those seeds, but they have the inconvenience of maybe having to apply an insecticide if they get an infestation. So the importance of doing this is that the neonics is really knocking out our pollinators. There are even farmers who try to grow crops and don't have enough pollinators to get the full production of their fields. Mm-hmm. We're losing birds, we're losing bats, and farmers and hunters out in the Midwest found that there were congenital defects that were showing up in deer that were grazing on neonic-treated corn.
Yikes. And so is there policy action on the state level or the local level to to prohibit or to turn the tide on this?
In Ulster County, on Ulster County property, we don't use insecticides. So that's good news. We passed that local legislation a long time ago. But in New York State, the seeds are still allowed. And Catskill Mountain Keeper and others, including some youth groups in the area, have been lobbying New York State to pass the Birds and Bees Protection Act, which would remove these seed-treated neonic corn, wheat, and soy from the market, and a few other uses, but allow the neonics and other insecticides when there's an infestation or an invasive species that needs to be dealt with.
And so, Dr. Nolan, before we run out of time, can we shift gears a little bit and talk about, you know, we all know that the COVID pandemic has dramatically increase the influx of people from the metro New York area into Ulster County and the region, you know, who are attracted to Ulster County for its quality of life, natural beauty, healthy environment. But the flip side of that is development pressure. How do you see, from your perspective, Catskill Mountain Keeper's perspective, being able to balance that development pressure with a healthy and sustainable environment?
When I first moved here, people were asking me to help bring development and increase the economy here in Ulster County. And now we have the opposite problem, if you will. I think we have created the right kind of problem. I think it is good for people to want to come to live here, especially for the reasons you said. And now we are responsible and need to manage those people coming in. In terms of the outdoor use of our recreational resources, that's a relatively easy problem to address. We did have a lot of people coming in 2020 to recreate outdoors and stay safe from COVID, but we're not seeing that continue on so much in 2021. So I think we were able to handle what we saw in 2020. And now we're, you know, building the infrastructure to continue to have people recreate outdoors. I'm more worried about how we deal with housing. It's a harder problem. Mm-hmm. And we've had people coming to this area to buy up properties for short-term rentals. And then those properties are not available.
A huge crisis. I mean, I live on a ridge overlooking the Catskills here. When I bought this house in 1997, it was all local people. Now it's all wealthy New Yorkers. You know, certainly they're welcome in our community, but really, you know, the town of Marbletown that I live in, 72% of the homes are second homes, which says that young people and seniors and working families are getting squeezed out of the community. And it's a big issue because we want to maintain the diversity of our community. So yeah, that is a major issue. So Dr. Nolan, before we run out of time, which we are very quickly, if people want to learn more, and you know, it's such an interesting topic and you're doing such great work, if they want to learn more about any or all of the issues that Catskill Mountain Keeper is involved in, or if they want to get involved personally or donate it, where do they go for that information?
The easiest resource is our website, CatskillMountainKeeper.org. It's Catskill without an S, and then Mountain Keeper all together. And we have a slider at the top of our homepage that has all the topics we've covered today, plus some that you can kind of scroll through and choose what you like. If people have specific questions for me, I'm happy for people to send me an email message, Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, at CatskillMountainKeeper.org.
Well, you know, the work that you and your colleagues do is really terrific, and we are so grateful. And you know, we're so grateful for you, who not only does this work, but works in the area of opioid recovery and other areas, and, you know, former and hopefully soon to become legislator in Ulster County, addressing so many public health issues. You've been a great partner. We thank you so much. And again, we are very grateful for your work. And that's about all the time we have for today. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.